Please open your Bibles with me this afternoon to John chapter 8. Begin in John chapter 8. I have a message today about the freedoms that we have as Christians, the many freedoms that are available in Christ alone, as opposed and compared to the freedoms that many believe they have as American citizens, and that most Americans, obviously including Donald Trump, believe we're secured and are actually being maintained by the American military, the mighty American military. We read in John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" They thought they were free already. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." First of all, as I have pointed out before from this passage, we do need to clarify and clearly state up front who Jesus is addressing in these verses, because there is some confusion about that. Verse 31, then Jesus said, it says, to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." He said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." So some of those may not have continued in his word. It says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus is here addressing people who believed certain facts about Jesus. They believed that he had wonderful powers to heal. He had displayed that in front of them all. They believed that he possessed great wisdom and was a great teacher, and that no man ever spoke like this man speaks. And he taught God's word with authority and amazed them with the way he taught. But the context here shows clearly that many of those standing here did not possess saving faith. They didn't possess saving faith. They did not believe on Jesus to the point of true conversion and true salvation. They professed to believe in Christ, perhaps, but were not truly converted. We know that to be the case from what Jesus says later in the discourse, down in verse 42. We read, Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." He's telling them they don't love him. "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word." Why? Because they're not born again. He said, "Ye are of your father the devil." These are not saved Jews we're talking about here. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" He then says in verse 47, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." You don't have true salvation. And if you study the context, you'll find there that it's the same folks are in view in verse 42 through 47 that were in view back in verse 31 and 32. So it's the same folks there. And so when Jesus said, "Ye are not of God," he was saying, you do not possess true salvation. You're not a child of God. You're still in your sins. You're still a child of the devil, verse 44. You say you believe on me, but really you don't, is what he's saying here. That's why he said, "If you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples." In other words, you show yourselves then to be my true disciples. This crowd here that Jesus spoke to had three things in common with most Americans today. First of all, they claimed to be Christian and to believe in Jesus when they were, in fact, not even saved. Most Americans today will claim to be of the Christian faith, for the most part, but very few of those are truly born again as possessors of true salvation. Very few. Secondly, these Jews also believed that they were free spiritually simply because of their Jewish heritage, because of their religion. their ancestry, while they were actually bound by the power and the penalty of sin. And then thirdly, they also thought that they were free in the civil arena, when they were in fact in bondage to the state, as Americans are today as well. Americans think they're free, but they're in actually bondage to the state. Verse 33, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" It appears that these Pharisees and these teachers of the law actually momentarily forgot their history, that their nation was once in slavery in Egypt, and it appears that they also actually momentarily forgot that their nation actually once went into captivity to Babylon because of their idolatry. And apparently they also forgot that even as they were speaking, they were occupied by a foreign invader, Rome, and they were at that time subjugated by the armies of Rome. But they still said, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man." Just like Americans are saying today, "But I'm proud to be an American, or at least I know I'm free." This past Thursday, July 4th, Americans celebrated what they believe to be their freedom. What they believe is a freedom that surpasses actually the freedoms offered in any other nation on earth, as they believe. For the occasion, U.S. President Donald Trump led a celebration of his own in Washington, D.C., in front of the Lincoln Memorial, the elaborate shrine, by the way, built to idolize the man that did more to destroy the Constitution and the freedoms its framers intended the American people to have than any president before him or since, at least until George Bush. Lincoln did so by seizing political power from the states and by centralizing it actually in Washington, D.C., after having presided over a civil war in which 655,000 Americans were killed in just 4 short years, plus many more wounded. That's more, by the way, than all the combined deaths from World War I and II, the wars in Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan combined. Lincoln, like John F. Kennedy, was then assassinated later on by the money powers behind the scenes. And for the same reason Kennedy was assassinated, reportedly because he had decided to attempt to return those freedoms back to the states and the people. Donald Trump promised that his 4th of July celebration would be the show of a lifetime, which turned out to be a 45-minute Salute to America speech, as it was titled, that after a few minutes mention of American accomplishments in the arts and the sciences and things like that, quickly became much more a salute to the armed forces, intended primarily to glorify the American military, which Mr. Trump obviously sees as the force behind and actually as the source of what Americans believe to be their freedom. Throughout the speech, which was accompanied by rather well-synchronized flyovers of low-flying military aircraft, Mr. Trump reviewed the accomplishments of America's armed forces through many of America's wars, beginning with the American Revolution, followed by the War of 1812, regarding which War of 1812, by the way, Mr. Trump made a slight error in his speech in claiming that under the rocket's red glare at Fort McHenry, our army rammed the ramparts and took over the airports. May I say, he actually said that. Of course, there were no airports at that time in 1814 at Fort McHenry, but Trump later blamed his blunder on the teleprompter. But several times in the speech, Mr. Trump referred to the freedoms enjoyed by the American people. And amidst all the glory given the military, Trump stated, "Americans love our freedom, and no one will ever take it away from us." After which his adoring audience chanted, "USA, USA, USA." But the ironic truth is that in all of his references to freedom, Trump never once identified which freedoms he was referring to. He never once referred to the Bill of Rights, which by his actions he is working to further abolish, expanding government surveillance programs, closing down the border, advocating red flag laws and confiscation of guns owned by those suspected or just accused of mental illness. Trump himself saying, "I like taking the guns first and then due process later." I talked about that a few weeks back in the prior message. I'm quite sure that the rights that many Americans today are gleeful about are the so-called rights they have as American citizens, are the blasphemous and abominable rights to free-flowing abortion, and along with the so-called gay rights and the so-called right to same-sex marriage that has now been magnanimously granted by the U.S. Supreme Court, the latter of which, by the way, Mr. Trump is advocating globally, having launched last February a State Department initiative to end the criminalization of homosexuality in nations where it's still illegal to be a sodomite. That's a State Department initiative. I got an email from a Baptist fundamentalist recently warning about this Harvard Rhodes Scholar and homosexual mayor from South Bend, Indiana, which, by the way, is also the home of Jesuit Notre Dame University, who's now running for president, and Mr. Pete Buttigieg, however you pronounce that. Yet that same fundamental friend of mine advocated that Christians vote for Donald Trump in the 2016 election, even after Mr. Trump announced his support for the LGBTQ agenda at the Republican National Convention. And I would submit that Mr. Pete Buttigieg is no more dangerous and no more sympathetic to the sodomite agenda than is Mr. Trump, who has focused his State Department on forcing gay rights on the entire planet. Further, I believe bringing the sure wrath of God down on this wicked nation. That same sodomite agenda, despite the fact that it is adhered to by really only a very small minority of queers in this nation, is completely taking over the public policy structures of this nation, along with actually the apostate so-called Christian denominations. And just to show where that agenda is headed, I got an email this week. Actually, it was in Dr. Dixon's Trumpet, an article put out by Mass Resistance, which is actually a organized effort to stem the tide of perversion in our country. This article was posted actually on the 6th of July. And it reads, have you ever wondered what really goes on at gay high school and middle school clubs and other youth pride programs for school children? We're constantly told it's all about tolerance, anti-bullying, AIDS education, and especially feeling safe. We're told that we must trust the adults running these events who are unsupervised and lacking background checks. Now, virtually all these programs take place at schools or off-site locations where parents and the public are easily excluded. The short answer is it's a nightmare. It's anything but safe for children. But on Sunday, June 22nd, the local LGBT group in Renton, Washington, near Seattle, scheduled a teen pride event at a local public library. In early June, when some parents in Renton first noticed the library promotion for the teen pride event, they were very worried. Among other things, it advertised a safer sex presentations and a drag show, as well as introduction for kids to local LGBT organizations. They also were shocked that it was advertised for teens and tweens. This can include children as young as 9 years old and as old as 19. And it says, of course, there's no way this was designed by teens. It's all adult-driven. The parents contacted Mass Resistance for help, and Mass Resistance chapter got to work. The parents wanted to protest the event, but instead we told them that the best thing would be to get inside and take photos, and that's what they did. And it was just vulgar and lewd what was going on in these things. I have a lot of the article here. I'm not going to go into detail because it's just too vulgar and too lewd what's going on in these meetings. For these kids, teaching them how to use condoms, and they actually had a drag queen show here. In one exercise, several children along with one adult were lined up with signs describing the steps of using a condom during sex. Another large part was devoted to transgenderism, making the children comfortable about changing into the opposite sex. Planned Parenthood representatives spoke about their gender reformation services by Planned Parenthood. What does Planned Parenthood have to do with gender reformation services? This is the wickedness that's going on in this nation, to recruit our young people into the gay agenda. Finally, there was a drag queen presentation. Four bizarre men dressed as women performed lewd, provocative dances for the kids, etc., etc. I'm not going to go into more detail. It's wicked and lewd. At 5 p.m., the presenter suddenly announced that all adults not accompanying a teen must leave. This was clearly aimed at the Mass Resistance mothers who were filming the event. The presenters told two mothers with cameras they had to go now, and they called the police and had them escorted out. And then after they got out in the parking lot, they were accosted. They were surrounded by four men, Antifa thugs, who began screaming at them and threatening them, calling them vile names. They said they were going to photograph them and their license plates and put on social media. One began to blow a loud shrieking whistle at them. Mothers had to call for 911 for police to come and escort them safely to their cars. This is what's going on in America today. A nation like this cannot be free. I mean, there's just article after article. You can just go on and on and on. And this is just all over the place. Here's another one. A newly consecrated gay bishop declares God is a woman. This so-called Episcopal priest, Reverend Thomas Brown, who was married to a fellow priest, a fellow sodomite, was ordained as a bishop of the Diocese of Maine in the Episcopal Church June 22nd. Here's a picture of this sodomite priest in his green costume there, his green bishop costume. Immediately following his ordination, Brown referred to God as she twice in the Nicene Creed. She is worshipped and glorified. She has spoken through the prophets, the just ordained bishop, Brown said, referring to the Holy Spirit. Inclusive language of God is encouraged by the Episcopal Church. This means the use of male and female imagery and metaphors in a balanced way to express the truths we know of God, the Episcopal Dictionary of the Church says. Bishop Brown describes himself as a servant leader who strives for justice among all people and who continues to dismantle racism and work for the full inclusion of the LGBTQ people in the body of Christ. Yeah, so that's what's going on. Another article, Joel Osteen, if you didn't hear, celebrates LGBTQ pride at Lady Gaga event. It just goes on and on. I mean, it's just flooding the nation. New York, megachurch speaker and author Joel Osteen and his wife Victoria were among a number of celebrities, including drag queens, actors, and music industry personalities, who attended the SiriusXM and Pandora present Lady Gaga at the Apollo concert on Monday night in New York City. LGBTQ pride event, Joel Osteen. So this is where the LGBTQ sodomite agenda is leading. The judgment of Almighty God. I want to tell you today that while the American Revolution did, in fact, win independence from Britain, that did enable the creation of what was once the greatest system of government in the world, those days are long gone. And the great constitutional system that they created has, for all practical purposes, long since vanished from the earth. However, aside from that war, I also want to state, not one of the wars since, which Mr. Trump referred to in his speech, did anything to preserve or to defend the freedoms enjoyed by the American people. Perhaps the War of 1812. Most of the wars that America fought were once, or actually were done instead, for conquest and empire building, including, by the way, World Wars I and II, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, many other local skirmishes that America has involved itself in where it had no business doing so. None of those wars did anything to improve Americans' freedom. Right. And the regime change wars of the last 20 years have, in fact, placed the American people far more at risk of reprisals from the Muslim population in general, and also at far greater risk of the judgment of Almighty God falling down on this nation. For the hundreds of thousands of documented, unarmed civilians being killed, in other words, mass murdered by America's imperial wars of aggression and conquest. What every Christian must see is that freedom never comes from the government or through military might. All true freedom comes from God alone. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Only God's truth will make you free. Amen. Only obeying God's truth will make you free. Freedom never comes from the government or through military might, ever. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen. Conversely, however, God also says in his word that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Psalm 9:17. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And I'm going to tell you that history has shown that that principle applies to nations as well as it does to individuals. God has ways of bringing a nation's military to naught, to nothing. And he also has ways of bringing a nation's enemies against it to destroy it, as he's done many times throughout history. As he did with many nations in the Bible, including the nation of Israel that he once chose as his own, put his name on. All true freedom comes from God alone. Freedom never comes from government or through military might. And the only true freedom in this world, as Jesus said in John chapter 8, comes from knowing Christ as Savior and Lord, and from humbly walking in obedience to his word. And further, I want to tell you that the freedoms that we enjoy as Christians and as American Christians have nothing to do with being American citizens. Nothing. The freedoms that we enjoy may be enjoyed anywhere on the planet, no matter what country a Christian lives in. Jesus said himself, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And then, by the way, then if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to talk a little bit about the freedoms and the glorious liberty that we do have in Christ. There are many wonderful freedoms that we have in Christ that are truly worth rejoicing about and celebrating. First of all, the freedom that we have in Christ, of course, includes freedom from sin. Freedom from sin. Romans 6:6-10 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Paul says, for he that is dead, meaning born again, died with Christ, raised to walk in the newness of life, for he that is dead is freed from sin. To be saved is to be freed from sin. Romans 6:17 then, later in the chapter, says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, the gospel. He says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Freedom in Christ means being free from sin. Romans 6:20 says, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. That's the context leading up to the verse we should have memorized, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul also writes in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He says, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. These passages say that we've been freed from sin itself. That freedom from sin also includes, though, several other results and freedoms. Freedom from sin first actually includes freedom from the eternal penalty of sin, as we just read in Romans 6:23, that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. In the Bible, there has two types of death in view. The first being the physical death of the body, of course. But then, of course, there's a second death the Bible talks about in several places. Revelation 2, verse 11, Jesus said to the church there, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Read further in Revelation 21, verse 8, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and all idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So the Bible has that second death in view as eternal punishment in hell. Those of us who are in Christ have been gloriously freed from that eternal penalty for our sins. For the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Freedom from sin also includes freedom from the power of sin. Not just the penalty, but freedom from the power of sin. That's because, of course, through the gift of the Holy Ghost, we are given power over sin that enables us to conquer its presence in our lives. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, for this cause also, Colossians 1:9, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, Paul says, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Then Paul says, verse 13, Colossians 1, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. We're delivered not only from the penalty of sin, but from the power as well. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Paul says here that we have not only received forgiveness of our sins, but we've also been given power to conquer ongoing temptation, to continue in sin. It's a wonderful freedom we have in Christ. Strengthened with all might, he says, according to His glorious power, and delivered from the power of darkness, he says there. Furthermore, then, freedom from sin also actually includes a glorious freedom from the guilty conscience of sin. And that's a glorious thing. This is where we receive from the Lord a great gift of peace of mind and joy in the Holy Ghost. The peace that passes all understanding that Paul talks about. We confess our sins to the Lord, and by faith in His blood, we believe those sins to be forgiven and forgotten, which also He confirms to us by His Holy Spirit and gives us peace and joy. Paul says in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And then he says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have peace with God and we rejoice in that peace and that hope. He says, Romans 8, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be saved is to have that gift of peace. That's a wonderful freedom that we have, freedom from a guilty conscience. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He says, in the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So first of all, the freedom that we have in Christ includes freedom from sin. Secondly, the freedom we have in Christ, of course, includes freedom from bondage to the law. Freedom from bondage to the law. Number two, God has placed His law, I believe, to some extent, on every man's heart to convict him of his sin and to thereby lead him to Christ. Which is why every false religion on the planet, which by the way means every religion aside from the biblical Christian faith, is based on some form of salvation by works. Whether that salvation is some form of paradise or nirvana or whatever it may be, it's all attained through the works of man. And therefore, because they all rely on man's performance, which can never be perfect, there is no peace and there is no joy, there is no assurance of salvation, and there is no joy in any of those, there's no peace in any of those false religions. But for us, there is a wonderful freedom as available only in Christ, and knowing not only that we cannot keep God's law, but that we no longer have to. We have been freed from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And Paul says, of course, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, the law, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. We no longer have to comply with the law. We can't do that. We've been freed from the law in Christ. Thirdly, the freedom that we have in Christ includes freedom from worry. Freedom from worry about tomorrow. We no longer have to fear our circumstances or worry about where tomorrow's meal is coming from or what the future holds. We have been free from the worry of life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." He said, don't worry. Don't worry about it. "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" He said, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" Verse 27, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment?" Jesus is saying here, don't worry about it. We've been free from worry. He said, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Therefore, Jesus said again, "Take no thought," saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what wherewithal shall we be clothed?" He said, "For after all these things do the Gentiles, or the unbelievers, seek." He says, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." There will never come a time, a day, as dark as things get in this world, EMP strike, great tribulation, plagues being poured out on the world, there will never be a day when we cannot trust in these promises of the Lord to take care of our needs. That day will never come. We have been free. We have a wonderful freedom in Christ from worry about tomorrow. No need to worry. Fourthly, the freedom that we have in Christ includes freedom from the fear of death. Freedom from the fear of death, because it also includes freedom from death itself. In Acts chapter 21, Paul and his company, which included Luke, had concluded Paul's third missionary journey, and they were on their way back to Jerusalem. And they had spent a few days in Tyre. And then we read beginning in verse 5 of Acts 21. "And when we," this is Luke writing, "when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children." They brought their wives and children not to say goodbye to them. "Until we were out of the city, we kneeled down on the shore and prayed." I can just see that scene. You know, the church coming out to see them off. "When we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. When we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemy and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. Next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea. We entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven deacons, and abode with him. And the seven men had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days," Luke writes, "there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. When he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews bind this man that owneth this girdle, the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered and said, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not only to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord, for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done." The freedom that we have in Christ includes freedom from the fear of death, which in turn empowers us to be able to suffer martyrdom, as Paul was ready to do, or death for our faith, if we're ever called upon to do so.
At the hands of the government.
At the hands of the government, exactly. To bring this message toward a close, back to the freedoms that many believe they have as American citizens. The typical American Christian's response to this message is, well, we still have more freedom here than anywhere else in the world. And I'd rather live in America than anywhere else on the planet. That's very typical, very standard. That response is understandable, actually, given the brainwashing we've all been embedded with from childhood, that America is the land of the free and the home of the brave. To correct that statement, however, I would reply that it's simply not true that we have more freedom here than anywhere else in the world. It was true at one time, I would say, but those days are long gone. In 1776, the Declaration of Independence outlined the long train of abuses that were committed by the English Crown and that formed the basis and the grounds for the colony's separation from England. In two separate messages, I've already previously recounted that similar long train of abuses and the decline of America into despotism that would in our day actually justify a new Declaration of Independence from the federal government. But that long train of abuses actually began with the Civil War and with the 14th Amendment that converted state citizenship into federal citizenship, followed by the 16th Amendment that allegedly was ratified in 1913, whereby Congress allegedly and for the first time made a claim upon the incomes of all American citizens, in effect making every working American a slave of the federal government. That same year, of course, in 1913, the Federal Reserve Act was passed. Once the proverbial camel's nose was in the tent, eventually resulted in the Bank Secrecy Act of 1986 and the complete wiping out of financial privacy rights by undoing the Constitution's gold and silver standard. Whereas now, it's seen as a crime to even operate in paper currency, and where the government tells you how much cash you can have so you're not suspected of being a drug smuggler or of money laundering. Where you're expected to have all of your savings in the Federal Reserve Bank so the federal government can eventually implement the mark of the beast and control your access to your own money. Those laws then progressed into, of course, the Patriot Acts, which all of which have resulted in the complete undoing of constitutional rights and the freedoms that Americans once enjoyed, including the freedom from illegal search and seizure and the right to privacy in one's papers, personal papers and effects. And as for the right to keep and bear arms, as mentioned earlier, Donald Trump, of course, talks about the freedoms our military has fought for, while at the same time advocating gun confiscation of those accused of mental illness, for which most of the states, including Florida, have now passed red flag laws to implement. And I would add again also that many of those in government and in the courts also now believe that Christians who believe the Bible are in essence mentally ill. They should have their guns taken away. Well, you say, well, we still have religious liberty. We can still meet together. Well, that's somewhat true. I would reply, however, that right, or now privilege as it exists, is only for those whom the IRS defines actually as compliant organizations, meaning those who are incorporated and tax exempt under Section 501c3 of the Internal Revenue Code and who comply with that regulation. All others are unable to hold property in the name of the church and will not actually be exempted from paying property tax on any property they do hold. And those who say they'd rather live in America than anywhere else on the planet, I would repeat that the freedoms that we do have in Christ have nothing to do with being American citizens. They may be enjoyed anywhere on the planet, no matter what country a Christian lives in. And further, as for the political freedoms protected by various governments across the globe, it's simply not true, really, that we have more freedom in America than is offered in any other nation. There was an article, this was published in Business Insider, titled "The 27 Countries in the World with the Most Freedom." It reads, "Freedom means different things to different people, but Freedom House, an independent watchdog organization that releases an annual report on freedom around the world, measures it in terms of civil liberties and political rights. Their annual report, Freedom in the World, operates from the assumption that freedom for all people is best achieved in liberal democratic societies. In 2018, more than 130 in-house and external analysts and advisors from academia, think tanks, human rights institutions created the report by collecting data from media, research articles, government documents, and other sources. And this data was then used to score a country's political rights on a scale of 0 to 40 and civil liberties on a scale of 0 to 60. Freedom House measured political rights by the degree with which a country's elections are free and fair, as well as by how much political pluralism and participation there is. And so the U.S. scored 58 on this list, by the way. And the 27 top, the U.K. is number 27. 25 is Spain. 24 is Germany. 23 is Estonia. 22 is Cyprus. 21 is Chile. Then Austria. Iceland, 19. Belgium, 18. Switzerland, 17. Japan, 16. Ireland, Barbados, Andorra, San Marino, Portugal, Denmark, Uruguay, New Zealand, Luxembourg, Australia, Netherlands, Canada, and then Sweden, Norway, and Finland tied for number one as the most freedom in the political arena, with the U.S. coming in at 58th position, rank 58. So America, according to this organization, is not the freest place to live on the planet. And beyond that, as for the right to keep and bear arms, that right is not at all exclusive to America. The Czech Republic, Switzerland, the U.S., Guatemala, Honduras, and Mexico all offer their citizens protected right to keep and bear arms. Actually, Muslim countries under Sharia law offer that right, but only to practicing Muslims. But as for abortion rights, while America offers free-flowing and government-funded abortion through Planned Parenthood, many nations still prohibit or ban abortion altogether, including Honduras, Nicaragua, the Dominican Republic, and Suriname in the Western Hemisphere. And that's also true in Iraq, the Philippines, and six countries in Africa. In many countries, abortion is permitted only to save the woman's life, including in Mexico, Guatemala, Venezuela, Brazil, Paraguay, and Chile. And that's also true in many other nations of Africa and Southeast Asia. As for me, I'm not advocating that we move out of the country. All right, I'm not personally in a position to move out of the country at the present time. But if I could, I would much rather live in a country that extends religious freedom to Baptists, that still outlaws homosexuality and abortion, that doesn't treat its citizens as slaves, and that is not waging relentless wars of aggression and imperial conquest throughout the world. Amen. And where the judgment of Almighty God is not looming over the nation, as it is here in America, for its sins of shedding innocent blood and its imperial conquest throughout the world. As mentioned many times, I do believe that this passage in Revelation 18 does apply directly to America, where we read, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Even if I'm wrong, even if I'm wrong in saying that America is the very same Babylon mentioned in that passage, everything else in those verses still applies directly to America. That's all true of America. And for the same reasons mentioned in that passage, God will judge America for its sins, which no doubt have reached unto heaven, just as did the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord has not told me to move out of this nation yet. But if he does, my intention will be to do so and not look back. And personally, I think that we should all have that attitude. We should stop worshiping America. And I think that's precisely why the Lord Jesus said in Luke 17 about the signs of his return, "Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. On the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and the stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him not likewise return not back." And he says, verse 32 of Luke 17, "Remember Lot's wife." Short verse there. Remember Lot's wife. And he says, "Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." Lot's wife, as we know, was compelled to leave Sodom when her children and her grandchildren refused to do so. Her heart ached for them, and she looked back. But for so doing, the Lord turned her into a pillar of salt for her unbelief. So Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife." Where is freedom to be found today? Where is liberty to be found today? The Bible says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty." The Lord Jesus said in Luke 4, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering the sight to the blind." Jesus said to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus came to bring liberty and freedom. Lord Jesus said in our opening passage in John chapter 8, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And he said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." In other words, those that continue in Christ's word, reveal themselves to be his disciples, those who have true salvation, the freedom and the liberty that every man really needs is to have freedom from sin. Amen. That's the freedom we really need. And only those who truly know Christ, who have received him as their Savior and as their Lord, can know the freedom that Jesus is speaking of here. Christ gives us freedom from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, from the presence of sin, from the guilty conscience of sin. And there is no freedom or liberty to be found on this earth that compares to the freedom and the liberty that we have in Christ. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. It is Christ's word and faith in his word and continuing in his word that delivers from the power of sin. It gives us freedom. And if you are bound by any sin, you need to immerse yourself in the word of God, which can deliver you from sin and from addiction. If you're bound by depression, you need to immerse yourself in the word of God. Much more can be said, of course, on this topic, but I'm going to close with this reminder that freedom and rights do not come from government. Our freedoms are not obtained through the mighty American military, and they are not maintained by the military either. True freedom only comes from God, and is only found in knowing Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord, and in surrendering to his will in every area of life. So let's all lose the blind patriotism and focus on following the Lord Jesus instead. Jesus paid it all. Hymn number 125. Amen.